Tuesday, October 26th, began early by no desire of mine. I woke at 4:30 and courted elusive sleep until about 6, when the reddening sky reminded me I might see a beaver or koipu if I went walking early enough down by the dam. So I dressed and went out in heavy dew, my pants and boots soon wet in the heavy grass halfway up my leg, and walked along the river. But nothing exciting happened, except good exercise. When I returned, the Crims were up and Linden, and we began the third day of what is settling into a pleasant idyll of blue and gold days, spent mostly under the sun, walking or riding in a car with the top down, eating light meals, pleasant and undemanding company, as near serenity as our life affords, regular meals and early bedtime. The Crims are a delight to be with because they like what we do. We ride along quietly in the sunshine, blending silent for miles, the sun hot. We watch the ballet of the blackbirds, a great swirling mass swoops up from the ground and plunges and whirls and turns with the most exquisite grace, thousands flying in perfect precision. Is it for sheer joy? Is it a feeding habit? Chasing some insects, perhaps? Or is it some instinct forever unknown to man? We look down into a meadow where some sheep are grazing, and farther on some cows under a live oak tree. The colors are gray-green and brown, and the orange-red of sumac. And Arthur says it looks like a Van Gogh. Matilda says with delight that this country reminds her of Greece. The gnarled shape of the live oaks and the gray-green of their foliage is like olive trees. There are so many rocks and goats and brilliant sunshine. I am pleased because I have felt the same thing. They've actually bought a lot over among the Comanche rancherias with a view of the lake. We come back and have a late lunch, and then Lennon goes to the pool to lie in the hammock and get even more bronzed, and I go inside for a nap. And then, after he's gone around with a CBS newspaper man, Bob Pierpont, the Crims and I join him at the birthplace. I forget. I firmly intend to start calling it the old Sam Johnson place. The other sounds pontifical. We drive to the Scharnhorst, and Arthur reminds Matilda that this is the place where we're going to shoot a Western movie. He's only waiting for the right story, he says. And then when dark drove us back to the ranch, we lit the fire the first time this fall. It's always the heart of the house, and we assemble. Sometime during the day, Jimmy Lou has snatched a little time to work on the head of Linden. Linden has issued a statement saying that he will ignore the provision in the Rivers and Harbors Bill, which erodes the power of the presidency. Jim Moyers has moved quietly in to begin being understudy to Bill. And Linden has had some earnest talks with Arthur about Democratic Party business and personalities. And then dinner is over, and the Crim are back in their New York clothes, and there's a courier which they will catch back to Washington. What a delightful 3 days visit. And how nice to think that when we are no longer in this role, we might have friends like them, perhaps quite a few, a colony, who would come down for weekends or weeks in the summer to their houses on the lake to add spice to our life here. The Rusk were to arrive at 11. There was just time in between for a little work, signing mail, reading memos, the most neglected part of my life during this interlude. Dean has been in Dallas, making a speech. We greeted him smiling and weary at the foot of the steps, about 11. He said there had been 9,000 or 10,000 people to hear him, consisting of some 5 or 6 organizations interested in foreign affairs. Eager, attentive, respectful, apparently determined to change the face that Dallas has worn before the world these last unhappy years. He was pleased and satisfied and ready for bed, and so were we.